Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's getting harsh out there, Fesco. Ian Rappaport tweeted out the players of the week. So he lists all the players of the week. Greg Rousseau, the Buffalo defensive end, was the defensive player of the week that had that interception. So I'm like, oh, I'll look and see who the players of the week are. Second comment in. I don't know this person, but Dan Sorensen got robbed of player of the week. I mean, it's just getting like ugly. And then it followed with all the players who had terrible weeks not getting robbed for player of the week. I'm like, really? You can't just let the list of player of the weeks be there without someone throwing in a Dan Sorensen jab?
Yeah, well.
Like right off the bat.
It happens.
Dan Sorensen guy jumps in.
Man, what would he be player of the week for, Buffalo?
That would be the you'd make that case. Yeah,
he's Buffalo. Go to Dan first.
Dan Sorensen was robbed.
That's what we expect from Dan.
CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire on injured reserve, meaning he's out at least three games after suffering a knee injury on Sunday.
Yeah.
You had been told that they don't believe
Clyde Edwards-Helaire
any longer than that.
No, I mean, they thought it'd probably be less than that, but they put him on the injured list just to clear that roster spot just in case it takes a little bit longer. The good news is there's no meniscus damage, there's no bone damage or anything like that, so they're thinking about 2 to 3 weeks, and they, you know, from what I was told, hesitated even thinking about putting him on the IL, injured list, whatever it's called in the National Football
Maybe
League
reserve,
right now,
yeah.
Because there's a chance he could be back, but he should be good to go in 3 weeks, and that gives you the opportunity now to elevate Gore from the practice squad, who they loved, you know, during the preseason, and give him an opportunity. So I think that's where we stand right now. I know that's where we stand right now with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They're very confident over at One Arrowhead Drive that he's going to be able to come back and should be good to go in 3 weeks. Now, could there be a setback? Sure, obviously. But you can't speed it up now because you put him on that 3 week injured list.
They've also moved up offensive tackle Prince Tega Wanogho.
Yeah.
Yes, one of the fantastic names of football from the practice squad to the roster, and they waived.
I am very happy to be here.
A training camp sensation. Darice Fountain.
I saw a tweet yesterday. Somebody was like, I'm really upset Darice Fountain got cut. I'm like, why? I didn't even know he was on the roster, let alone.
Of course he made the roster. Yeah. He had a really nice camp.
I was thinking of that French guy that, you know, that we talked about.
No, Fountain was
a French.
Fountain was just not active every week. He was on the roster, and he's been inactive every week.
So
they bring up the Prince, though.
Right.
It's just confusing to me. Like, they've been making LDT a healthy scratch every week.
It's confusing to you. Well, here's the answer.
Yeah, Bob searched out the answer it is.
It was confusing to Josh.
From a numbers game, I'm like, what does this mean? Is this he plays tackle? They don't really need a tackle. Tooney is maybe questionable with the bust in hand. They've had Austin Blythe and LDT inactive for the entire season, so they have enough availability at offensive line,
but from what I understand from talking to some people around the league yesterday, there's other teams that are sniffing around him, and they were about ready to sign that dude off the practice squad, and the Chiefs like him, and so the only way you can protect that guy is bring him up to the roster. It has nothing to do with Joe Tooney's injury. It's moves that are totally separate from each other. One has nothing to do
off your practice squad, put them on the active roster.
Correct. And if enough teams are sniffing around, you're like, all right, we gotta get this guy on the active roster
and protect him. So protecting the Prince.
So that's what they're doing. Yeah, he is being protected on the active roster right
remember
now.
Remember when Reggie Jackson was trying to kill the Queen?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know why that popped into my head.
I must kill the Queen.
We're talking about Prince.
Yes.
Yeah. We are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been quite a revolution for Prince
Tega Winogo.
So yeah, he's
and
on
now
the
he's on the active
he's
roster.
On the active roster. Now, do I expect him to play? No, but if you like a guy, you got to protect the guy, so you got to put him on the active roster, and therefore, Mr. Darius Fountain is no longer with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's been moved off the active roster. Do they bring him back to the practice squad? I don't know.
Not gonna work here anymore anyway.
So they might have a spot to bring him back,
mm-hmm.
but. And I hope they do. I thought he had a good camp. I liked him going in. I didn't know what role he'd have in the regular season. We've seen none. But I did like the fact that he earned himself a spot on the Chiefs roster. Just couldn't find his way into the actual mix. So without CEH for now 3 weeks, opportunity presents itself. Maybe more Jerick McKinnon. Maybe a little more of a role for Darrell Williams. You get to see a little bit of the complimentary running backs a little bit more, and they have a chance to maybe impress and find maybe more expanded roles later, because I'm not saying you can't count, but he's been injured a couple times now. CH's been injured a couple times.
He's been in the league 2 years, and twice
right?
now he's been injured and missed a handful of games.
Right.
He's injury
prone. So you need to probably continue to evaluate that spot, continue to find roles in the run game that are other than CEH at times.
Yeah, you got to find somebody else. And right now we may be in that nitpicking stage of where we are with the Chiefs, but they're 2-3 right now and haven't looked really good in any game so far this year. So the ability to nitpick is there for this organization. We're all trying to do the same thing, help them win football games, right, Josh? I mean, at the end of the day, we're all in this together thinking of ways that we can help, and that's what fans do. And a lot of times coaches don't want to listen, but a lot of times, you know, these coaches get too close to the forest, they don't see the trees. Sometimes you need to take a step back and say, oh, okay, and then, you know, all of a sudden it hits you when you take it, you know, a 30,000 foot view as opposed to being right there, right in front of your face. Like I tell my family with the refrigerator all the time, if you just move something to the left, there may be something behind there that you're looking for, and then it doesn't go bad and we don't have to throw out. And I think sometimes football coaches are like that. They open the refrigerator, we have nothing, and they close the door instead of moving some things around and figuring out what they could potentially have.
Our dad moment's at 9:55 today,
9:55,
but
you
might have dadded it up just right there a little bit early.
I may have, just tad early on that one, right?
You're the refrigerator czar.
Josh, it drives me up a wall. Yeah. If it's not right there in the front of the refrigerator,
I don't see it.
Yeah. Did you move the orange juice? No. Well, it's right behind that. Move some stuff around. And that's what I'm telling the Chiefs to do. Right now, you don't have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, so you got to move some stuff around. Look for some solutions out there. And one of the biggest weaknesses for this team has been in the red zone. And when you watch this team in the red zone, when you have to, you know, result on faking people out by having Tyreek Hill and then Travis Kelce and then everybody else pretend they're quarterback on one play, or you're doing the Rose Bowl thing that everybody loved in the Super Bowl, or
that
Travis Kelce,
awesome.
Travis Kelce acting confused.
It was a run up the middle. What are you talking about?
It was the choreography.
The little pirouette of it?
The spin of it beforehand.
The fact that you got four guys to be in unison on it?
Yeah, it's
absolutely
like a synchronized swimming.
Trying to get four guys to do something together at one point in time doesn't usually work. So the fact that they're doing all of these kind of crazy plays from the 10-yard line in tells me they've got a bigger issue, and they don't have the confidence that they can just pound this thing in. They've got to go crazy, wild, and nutty with all this stuff. But maybe now, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire being shelved for a couple of weeks, it will give you the opportunity to see Darrell Williams emerge and what he can do. Because from the 10-yard line in his career, he's been really good. 12 career carries and 5 touchdowns. This year, 4 carries, 2 touchdowns for Darrell Williams inside the 10-yard line. And I think instead of trying trick plays and doing all that kind of stuff, which could result in a turnover or settling for 3, I think you got a guy that has shown in a limited amount of time, obviously, but he's got a nose for the goal line. I'd love to see them just arch their backs, line up, boom, knock the defensive line back, and power that thing right into the end zone. And I think Darrell Williams may be the guy that you have that could give you that opportunity. Because Clyde Edwards-Helaire wasn't that guy.
Yeah. In limited opportunities last year without CEH, he had his best rushing day against Cleveland last year in the playoffs without CEH. So he's shown that he can spell. I think he fills a fantastic role. His numbers aren't going to be eye-popping ever.
Mm-hmm.
But I he was one of my favorite players last year. I just really like the role he filled on this team. Love to see a little more. Jerick McKinnon, I think we've liked him in short spurts. Show us you're not the fourth outfielder.
Yeah, maybe. See what you can do.
Maybe get a little expanded time that way. But Darrell Williams inside the red zone, I don't mind that play at all. We asked Danan Hughes, Chiefs color analyst, about the CEH injury when he joined us yesterday, and Darrell Williams could have an impact.
I think it's next man up. We've seen that in Andy Reid's career, not just here with Kansas City. When you go to Deuce Staley and Brian Westbrook, and when Shady McCoy came on, it was always about a 1-2 punch. When he came to Kansas City, it was always when you guys were talking about it earlier. Jamal Charles goes down. You got Spencer Ware and Tre'Kendrick West that come in. You have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and you know, before that you have Williams, and the Williams, both Williams coming up and making plays at the running back position. It's truly about the next man up.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like Darrell Williams' running style with this offense. I think he's more violent as a runner. He may not be as shifty as Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he's more violent as a runner. And if you're trying to take some pressure off of Patrick Mahomes, having a violent runner like Darrell Williams could bode well for us. And then having a complement like Jerick McKinnon, who can be a receiver out of the backfield and can create some mismatches against opposing linebackers.
Okay, so we'll see. I like Darrell Williams in his role that he is now, and I hate to kind of flip-flop that, but I don't know how much can Jerick McKinnon handle that whole quote-unquote CEH role. He's relatively new still. Does he know, you know, does he have a firm grasp of the playbook where you aren't better off just elevating Darrell Williams and then having McKinnon play kind of the Williams role, or do you leave Williams where he's at and put Jerick McKinnon? I don't know.
I think he moved up Darrell Williams.
They used Jerick McKinnon last week really, really early in the game. So they've got some stuff that fits his skill set too. So I think the combination, certainly over a 3-week span rather than a season ending span, I don't feel a lot of, you know, negativity that they can't handle it.
Right. And I think also too, you've got the opportunity now to bring, you know, a young kid up from your practice squad who, you know, really showed a lot, I thought, during the training camp. And Derek Gore, I thought he was really good in training camp and really good in the preseason, and they like him enough to elevate him to the active roster and have him kind of as that third running back now on your team. And so, as Danan said, next man up. The Chiefs are clearly going next man up at this running back spot for the next 3 weeks, and as of now, not looking outside the organization to try to go out there and make themselves better at that running back spot.
Even though there was a trade rumor floated about yesterday involving the Chiefs, ESPN was looking early at the NFL trade deadline and indicated that the Chiefs were sniffing around the Colts Marlon Mack at running back in a potential trade, that it would require maybe a late round draft pick for Marlon Mack, who is young. Wants a trade, not like fully beat up with, you know, a beat up running back, but I don't know. Would they be a little sketchy right now to bring in a running back on limited time to try to learn a playbook?
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like it's worked in the last few years.
It really has.
Maybe a more difficult spot to pick up than we give it credit for.
Yeah, you got to learn from history, right? And history has shown with Shady McCoy and Le'Veon Bell just didn't work. I mean, you know, to bring, especially, you know, with this offense and people saying how complex it is, it's hard to pick it up in the middle of the season. And so that's why you really want to rely on guys from inside the organization. I was talking to somebody in the league yesterday about it, and they're like, well, Derek Gore knows the offense. I mean, that's the reason right now why you elevate him. You don't have to teach somebody the offense. He's been here on the practice squad. He was here in training camp. He knows what he's doing in this offense right now. It's not somebody coming in that you're making a trade for that's in a completely different system that has to learn what you're doing here. And as we talk about all the time with the language, you got to forget the old language and then try to learn the new language. And that's not easy to do for anybody at this point in time. And so you want to have somebody in here that is familiar with what's going on. And since it's only a quick injury, no meniscus tear, no bone injury or anything like that, they're looking just at that 3-week window. It's not worth it for them to go out there and try to acquire a running back. I would like Marlon Mack at 25 years old and, you know, a guy that I still think can play a little bit in this league, right? At 25, yeah, I would give a conditional 6-round draft pick or something like that up for him. I would have no issue doing that. But the Chiefs aren't looking at that spot right now. And as the trade deadline continues to get closer and closer and closer, I can tell you from what I've been told, defensive line, obviously, is going to be an area of It's an area of need, but it's going to be an area that they're going to look at and see what could be potentially available. And I would rather have them trade, quote-unquote, resources for somebody along the defensive line right now who I think can come in and hopefully give you something more than go out there and spend that draft capital or trade capital, if you will, on a running back that you may only need for a three-week stint and you really don't need him in the offense right now.
I am curious to see how this three-week stint makes things going forward, because I've seen a lot of folks on social media or on our text line who just don't really believe in CEH at this point. This from the 913. Gore is going to take CEH's job. You heard it here first. Okay, we'll put you down. 816. CEH is barely good anyway. Damien will be okay. Better probably just wait and see. I think that there is a lot of
Daryl,
not but they put Damien, but he meant Daryl. I think there are a lot of fans who are, I'm not saying happy that he got injured, but are happy to see others get an opportunity to see what you can do. Because I think when you reworked that offensive line, and albeit CEH has had a couple of really good weeks this year,
he was starting to come into his own. Andy was using him great, man. And I really like that.
I think the expectation, probably unfairly so, but like the expectation was higher for what this offensive line would be capable of doing in the run game, right? Like, and how they could improve the run game in that situation. So
sure.
To me, I'm just curious to see if you have Daryl Williams come in and receive the lion's share of the carries over the next 3 weeks, and he does even better and just makes that offensive line look like they're world beaters, do we immediately go, okay, now you have to really kind of evaluate what the touches look like out of the backfield? You could also make the case that they've got 5 weeks under their belt, so they're gelling a little bit more, and they were trending in a positive direction with the run game. So you're likely going to see it be good over the next 3 weeks anyway, regardless of who was going to be there, because the offensive line is just blocking in the run game better. Like, that's an argument I'm willing to hear, but I do think that there's going to be some people over the next 3 weeks that look at what, some of these guys will do out of the backfield and go, boy, I'll tell you what, maybe it's time to start moving away from CEH. Can't imagine him getting a second contract, at least by the standards that you put on running backs a lot.
No, I'm not giving a second contract
to him. So, I mean, if it's not working immediately for you and it's not trending in that direction, why not start looking elsewhere?
I'm not a second contract guy at a running back either, but also I think, Daryl Williams.
Especially with this offense and this coach.
Again, I'm a Daryl Williams fan. He's got a body of work. He's got 400-some yards in 4 years. I'm not expecting him to actually turn into Gale Sayers. I'm not expecting a guy from the practice squad to turn into Gale Sayers.
No.
I'm looking at placeholders for the next 3 weeks. You're better with CEH.
You're better with CEH
running the ball and out of the backfield than anybody else on this roster.
Right, but you can be different and do maybe some different things with these running backs. Like I mentioned, from the 10-yard line in, maybe you can power run it here in these type of situations.
I don't know that they're concerned about doing that.
Well,
I mean,
they should be.
I mean, it's weird to me.
They seem very content not to do that.
I understand.
For several years now, they're content not to run the football inside the 10-yard line. The goal-to-go situations are what? Bunch of fun plays that are dialed up oftentimes in the pass game.
Everybody getting under center and acting like they don't know
everybody,
what's happening.
Everybody gets their involvement. And
throwing touchdowns to Eric Fisher.
They're fun.
Yeah, right,
they're fun. They're great.
Underhand
passes. They're awesome. So why would I think now that 3 weeks without CEH, well, now they're gonna focus on running the ball inside the goal situation? They haven't done it for like 3 years.
It's just like his entire tenure here in Kansas City has been somewhat baffling to me, because the draft pick was supposed to be this match made in heaven between he and Andy Reid, right? And he was going to be the second coming of Brian Westbrook, and they were going to start throwing screen passes out of the backfield like all of a sudden it was all the Philly days again. Like, that hasn't happened, and you started seeing a little bit of it this season, but it hasn't even came to fruition this year either, in a year where Greg Williams went and became the running backs coach. Like, a former wide receiver coach is now coaching up the running backs. Or Greg Lewis, sorry.
G. Lou.
Yeah,
G. Lou.
You start thinking to Greg Williams, wasn't that guy with Bounty Gate guy?
Yeah, that's the guy who beats up people.
But to me, it's just been maddening, because like, the reason that you thought this draft pick was going to be so successful, it hasn't been so. And here we are, two seasons into it, you're looking at, well, maybe you have a guy who can't really stay healthy for a full 16 games, which seems to be the knock on a lot of guys in their first 2-3 years in the NFL. You also have a guy who you just don't seem to trust in pass protection as well. And like, so you continue to keep bringing in these guys that will supplement what he doesn't do well. I'm confused. I guess at this point I would ask you, what is it that he does well?
Well, and I'll go back to something, Josh, that you said about the trick plays and they're content doing that. Those plays are all well and good, But you better make sure you score now every time you're in the red zone, because your defense isn't going to stop anybody. And so that's the extra added pressure to me that is on this offense right now. And most of the trick plays, yeah, they work, right? Fine. But I think at this point
in time, it takes us for one to go drastically
wrong. That's right, drastically
and
wrong.
And Greg Russo
picks one in the air and runs the other way.
Right. And you're not, because you're not running the football.
Because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Inside the five.
Right. And that's,
something like that.
That was my point in this whole thing, is do all these plays that you want, but you don't have any room for error right now on offense. Zero room for error. It appears to be, like I said last week, just give me one stop on defense. Well, they got their stops on defense. But it appears now, if the Chiefs as an offense do not score a touchdown on every single drive, you're going to put yourself behind the eight ball. Not a field goal, Josh. A touchdown on every single drive. You have to find a way, if you're the Chiefs, to make sure that you are in the end zone on every single drive, because there's no room for error right now on defense. And if you screw up as an offense and don't get into that end zone every single time, you're chasing your tail for the rest of the game.
I mean,
and that's not
a
good spot to be in.
We've talked about the stat all week. It's 3.9.
3.25.
3.25 after that Bills game, points per drive.
For the offense you're talking about.
Yeah. And that is like historically great. Asking for six.
Well, I mean, historically, it's the best of all time since 2009 when they started keeping the stat or whatever it was, right? It's a really good, but that's the expectation now. I hate to say it.
that's not going to happen.
Well, then you're not going to win a lot of football games because your defense isn't stopping anybody. Your goal as an offense is to score a touchdown every single time. And the best way to do that is run the dang football. It also takes time off the clock. You start doing these underhand passes and all the, what if one, like that one he threw the other day to Jody Fortson, man, that was in a lot of traffic. That was no guarantee that thing was going to be complete.
So it's either the offense does something that nobody's ever done before, or the defense makes a few stops. I'm going to go with defense make a few stops.
Well, good luck.
I'm good with some field goals. I don't have a problem with that. I'm just the cuteness inside the end zone. Inside the goal line, I'm a little bit.
Team is not capable right now of winning games with field goals.
Let's show that you can punch it in the end zone. Show that you can punch it in the end zone just the old-fashioned way and not have to spend whatever time you're spending on it.
What was that?
Maybe too much.
Commercial back in the day, you did it the old-fashioned way. They earned it. Was it like Smith Barney or something? Or was it,
yeah.
Or was that the two Seagram's wine cooler guys?
No, I don't think it was Bartles and James. I don't believe it was them. I believe it was an investment firm.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it
Has
was
there
Smith
been
Barney.
An instance, though, when getting cute didn't
the
work this year, though, for him?
Way.
Because, like, I know we had kind of jokingly said it, but it was
all
funny that people were.
All it's going to take is one, though. And
right, but right now we're like we're getting up in arms about the Chiefs being cute at the goal line when they're scoring touchdowns on those plays.
They are. But it's going to take one. The one time it doesn't work, all hell's going to break loose.
Yeah, you can.
I feel like you got bigger fish to fry than getting cute at the goal line.
I don't think
like
the feigning confusion is going to work again.
No.
And so, twice,
so let me ask you this,
for
Josh.
I don't think feigning confusion was the reason that play worked.
No, but let me ask you this, though.
You don't?
Let me take you back to that week.
They do, or the Fernley wouldn't be doing it.
How much time are they wasting trying to think of what's next from that cuteness instead of just working on not turning the football over?
God, this is where we're at, huh?
Yeah, it is.
It is, yeah.
This team's got to be more perfect than it's ever had to be.
Yeah.
In the recent vintage.
Right.
Because
you
don't
got
have
a glaring weakness.
Complaining about the cute touchdowns now.
Well, how much time are you spending, though? Could that be spent better ways? Are you best using your time right now, devising some trick play when you could be working on the basics of not turning the football over?
So hold the football.
Like 1 year ago, it was, look how bored the Chiefs are. They're just doing dumb crap just to entertain themselves.
They did at that point in time because they had the defense that could get a stop here or there. Defense can't get a stop right now.
They don't need to be bored now. They need to be focusing on their playbook, Ryan.
That's right. They do.
I mean, Travis Kelce drew that one up. Like, what do you think this is, taking time out of Andy Reid's day? Yeah.
He's had to approve it.
Mm-hmm.
He's had to actually get it in the playbook. He's actually had to go over it and see if he believes it would work.
Mm-hmm.
It's wasting his time.
It is.
Run the football downhill. Give me 2 yards. Knock it off.
Let Juan Thornhill play a little bit. I'm willing to let that happen before I complain about getting cute.
On offense? The Chiefs continue to tumble as we look at the latest power rankings next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back in on a Wednesday, it is Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler, Ryan Witkowski producing.
Hello.
Hello, Ryan.
It is time to look at this week's
Happy Wednesday, rankings. Robert.
Thank you.
And we'll have our random power rankings coming up in just a few minutes as well.
There's somebody in the office somewhere in town today talking about it being hump day. Are people back in the office yet?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think that's happening.
Most.
I have a friend who works at a competitor's radio station. He had his first day back in the studio this week. That's right.
Wow, good for them.
Just now.
Yes.
Wow. Some aren't back.
I mean, my God, they're awful.
So we'll look at this week's power rankings. Chiefs continuing to be in completely uncharted territory since we've been doing these power rankings. We initially started them because they were always at the top.
Well, no, we initially started them because they weren't getting their love.
Yeah, we're getting love. Yeah. They were in the top three. They were.
And then they were playing the anti-chiefer.
Then they were at number one for a while. So we reveled in it. Now right. It's just like tumbling.
Scoring touchdowns is an important thing.
We'll start with Pro Football Talk. They have the Bills number one. There's currently a gap between the Bills and everyone else, they say.
I think the Bills right now are the best team in the NFL.
Cardinals are number two, the last unbeaten, followed by the Buccaneers, Ravens, and Rams. Round out your top five.
I'm not a believer in Kyler Murray yet.
I will scan down to number 11 to find the Chiefs. They fell another spot to number 11.
Hell are they doing at number 11?
Yeah, and their write-up just says they'll be fine, comma, in time.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I think
they're making the playoffs. Yeah, it may be tough to win the division or get the home field this year.
But just playing from behind in the rankings.
Yeah.
That being the power rankings.
And you can do that in the NFL. You can't in college football.
Correct.
You're screwed.
It's very, very, very difficult.
If this was a college year, this team would be done.
ESPN.
No national championship for us.
Nope.
Has the NFL power rankings plus each team's most improved player. So they have the Bills on number one, remaining at number one. Cardinals remaining at number two. Rams three. Bucks and Packers. What I do find interesting about this year's power rankings as well, it was AFC top heavy at the beginning.
And it's now
and
NFC.
Now it's very, very NFC.
Uh-huh.
So it's NFC at six as well.
It's amazing how that pendulum swings from one year to the next. Oh, nobody wants to play in the AFC. And we were talking about before the season started.
Chargers seven, Ravens eight, Browns nine, all Chiefs opponents, and then the Chiefs at number 10, actually 10. Up a spot.
All right, that's good. They should be up, yeah.
And they list the most improved player as Jody Fortson.
Well, I mean, who else are you going to put on that list?
Everybody loves Jody Fortson.
He's been really nice this year.
A couple of TDs as well. The Ringer.
Jody Fortson.
The Ringer power rankings have the headline as the Chiefs have no room for error. And then the Chiefs aren't, let's see. One is the Bills, two is the Cardinals, three is the Bucks, four is the Rams, five is the Cowboys. And then the list stomps at nine, a couple
the
paragraphs.
The Chiefs' defense is soft.
Scroll, a few paragraphs, a few more paragraphs. And then they're amongst the group listed as the contenders. The Chiefs at number 10. At number 10 in theirs, their power rankings.
Now that you had a little bit of the, you know, Chiefs kingdom taste in your mouth.
The Chiefs' inability to slow opposing offenses down puts pressure on the offense to play near perfect football, and they haven't done that. Mahomes remains the league's most dangerous passer, but he seems to be pressing more this season than he has in the past. A league best 16 touchdowns through five games, yes, but also has tossed six picks, the same number of interceptions he threw in all the 2020 season.
I'm hella concerned about these Chiefs.
So, Kansas City will have to get back to being damn near perfect on offense if it hopes to compete in the AFC. That's the write-up from the Ringer. It has him at number 10.
Say that again, please.
Did you write that, Bob?
Say that again, please.
They have to be damn near perfect on offense to get back into the AFC.
100%.
Graces.
Bob's asking for a touchdown every possession.
I think at this point in time, you have to.
And the NHL season dropped puck last night, so CBS has its NHL power rankings.
Where's your Kraken?
Kraken got screwed over on a kicked-in goal for the game winner last night.
Very controversial tonight. Very controversial.
Bet the crackheads weren't happy about that.
No, they were not.
Lightning, Avalanche.
Lightning are already 0-1. How can they be at the top of this thing?
They're still number one.
Back-to-back. Cocaine users
back-to-back.
Alcoholics.
Back-to-back Stanley Cup champs. Mm-hmm. Golden Knights. Maple
Golden
Leafs
Knights.
And
Golden
Islanders.
Knights.
One through five.
I got the Isles in the top five.
Kraken at 10. I like that. All right. Lost a one-goal game last night. I did watch into the second period.
Good for you.
Good to see them crack the top.
Wanted to see them score their first ever franchise goal.
And so, was it everything you thought it would
be? It was, and then I went to sleep.
Then you went to bed.
Yeah. They blow the horn?
No, they're on the road. They're on the road. First couple of games are on the road.
Have you heard the Kraken's horn? It's very aggressive.
Let me hear it.
I don't have it. But it's aggressive.
It should sound like the Gordon's fisherman horn.
Seattle Kraken.
Actually, no, that's it.
That's a sea horn. I like everything they've done.
I think of the Pacific Ocean. Yeah.
I like it.
They're my adopted hockey team. Although I'm rethinking this West Coast
Puget Sound.
These West Coast start time thing.
They stink. They do. Talking to Warren Moon over the weekend, who lives in Seattle. He goes, it's unbelievable with the Kraken apparel. Like, everybody is into this hockey team up there. I think it's going to be a great
atmosphere.
The apparel is
really cool looking.
They've got a great logo. They've got a great name. They've got great colors.
Also, in fairness, when I was in Seattle, literally every gift shop that you went into had Kraken apparel as well.
Yeah. Everybody's buying it.
Like, here's the Space Needle. It's like, here's a Kraken hoodie.
Yeah. Everybody's buying that stuff.
Just hand them out when you want.
They really are. They're just giving away.
Get a Kraken hoodie.
Giving them away.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right. So our random power rankings this week.
Mm.
I don't know if this is an honor of anything, is it?
Yeah, this is an honor of Dirty Dan Sorensen.
No. Things you're okay with being burnt.
That's right.
Things you're okay with being burnt. 913-576-7610.
I'll get us kicked off. Give me marshmallows at number four.
Yeah,
I don't know why
the
people don't like the burnt. I don't like intentionally light it on fire, but if it does spontaneously combust while being roasted,
it's not ruined at all.
It's not ruined at all.
Give me a charred outside. The inside is still nice and creamy and juicy.
Creamy and juicy is how you described a marshmallow?
Oh, yeah. We had some the other night. We were cooking them over that Solo stove, man. Get them a little charcoal.
You gotta get those things moving fast over a solo stove.
Oh, you tell me. 2 seconds. I'm not kidding. It's 2 seconds.
And it's out. It's done. Number three on my list, the midnight oil. I don't mind burning the midnight oil.
Yeah, that's a good one.
At all. Number two on my list, give me hot dogs. I don't understand. Again, another thing that if you burn it a little bit, don't throw it away. Don't feed it to the dog.
No,
it's perfectly fine. I like a little crisp.
Yeah.
On the wiener, that's all I'm going
to
say.
Our kids are so frustrated because I have to take their hot dogs off first and I leave mine on to get all
charred. Yeah, you got to get burned a little bit. You'll learn as you get older, children.
And coming in at number one on my list as someone who lived through the LimeWire days, CDs. I'm fine with CDs being burned.
I was a LimeWire addict, man. I love me some LimeWire.
That is good. Number four for me, in your vein of hot dogs, brats. I love a burnt brat.
Mm-hmm.
I'll overcook those till the
brats come home.
Yeah. Number three for me, pizza crust.
I'm with you. I got that on my list.
Are you talking about like that cheese on the edge of the pizza crust?
I like when you get like the stone cooked ones or whatever, and they got that
little char on the bottom. Yeah.
Just a thin black.
Plus, you get a little
crust on the bottom.
Get a little bop action that brick
like
oven
that.
Pizza.
Yeah, I like that. Number two, the breakfast sausage. I will just scald those links.
I don't
even think those are really made with meat.
Might not be,
but pork. I'm pretty sure.
I way overcook them because I love when they're just burnt. And
I miss those great start breakfasts. Remember those when you had a kid? They made pancakes and sausage. Those were good.
And then the number one thing I'm okay with being burnt, Steven Nelson.
That's good.
I really like when he gets lit up.
I'll see your Steven Nelson and add a Kendrick Lewis to that. Lewis to that.
I don't know why he, like, of all the former Chiefs, besides LeSean McCoy stealing rings, Steven Nelson is up there.
But that guy left with a bigger head than I've ever seen on anybody.
He thought he was fantastic. He was putting all his
selling
stuff on Twitter to sell his cleats and stuff.
He's been on like a different team every year since he left.
Get out of here, Steven Nelson. I don't mind you getting burnt like toast.
Yeah. All right, coming in at number four for me, I love some burnt bacon. You got to get that stuff crispy and burnt. I'm on that for number four, bacon.
Gross, no.
I like burnt bacon.
I like in between floppy and crispy.
I got to get a good crispy
piece of
bacon.
I like an extra floppy.
Extra floppy. Number three, neither of you guys had this on your list, lasagna. The edges when you burn the cheese and you can just, I love that burnt crisp cheese.
Do you hunt out the edge of the lasagna?
I do, yeah. I love
the
burnt.
Are you a corner guy?
Yeah. Give me the burnt edges of the lasagna. Number two, I'm with you on the pizza. You know, that the crispiness of pizza cooked a little bit more than it should be takes it to the next level. And number one, you guys are morons. You both did not go with the burnt ends.
Of course, the burnt ends.
How do you, from Kansas City, not
CDs.
Have ends on your list?
Well, that's Steven Nelson. I don't know. Ends are fine.
I mean, burnt ends are okay.
No, they're good.
Little pillows of meat from Smokehouse Barbecue. Give me them all right now.
I like the char better than the rest of it, actually, you know?
Yeah.
It is my favorite part of barbecue.
Yeah, the burnt ends.
Just the char. Just cut the outside. It's like the you know, a fried chicken skin.
Just keep the skin.
Yeah.
The hell with the meat.
Give me the burnt.
I also was going to put like fajita vegetables, peppers, and onions on there. Right?
A little fire roasting going for
you. You know, if you ever watched Ann Burrell on the Food Network, she always talks about how brown is flavor. All the little brown bits you get out there, the flavor of the meat.
I do love some brown bits.
Oh, so good. When you get all that, that's good. That is such good flavor.
You can weigh in on your things you're okay being burnt at 913-576-7610. Also use that same number, but as a telephone number in this case. Dial in now, 913-576-7610. If you want to play, we learn our Washington foe together. We play...
Who he talking?
No. We play... Pick the football team player. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.